weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Open talk to begin the program today. We will have guests later. We're scheduled to chat today with the president of Butler County Community College. Dr. Nick Neupower will be joining us a little bit later on the program. Open talk to begin with at 283-2525. Skies have clouded up. We had quite a bit of sunshine for a while there earlier this morning, shortly after daybreak for a couple of hours. Clouds are in now. We see a few pockets of snow flurry activity here and there. It's pretty widely scattered right now. We're not looking for much this afternoon, maybe by early evening a little more. And then overnight tonight, we're keeping our fingers crossed. Forecast calls for 1 to 3 inches. At least that's a possibility, 1 to 3 inches. If we're on the low end of that, an inch, right? Probably deal with that. If we're on the upper end of that, 3 inches, then you probably got a problem, especially first thing tomorrow morning. So we'll keep you posted in case we have any school information or any of that sort of thing. Let's hope for the best, though. here we are, just over a week into March now, March 8th. Most folks say about time to shut down winter. The Pirates play ball for real 3 weeks from today, believe it or not. Yeah, the home opener is April 2nd, but the season opener is on the road in Detroit, and it's 3 weeks from today, March 29th. What are they starting the baseball season in March for? That's nuts, isn't it? Yeah. And they play at almost Halloween. In fact, they do play to Halloween with the World Series. We're very pleased once again, very proud actually here at WISR to once again be a member of the Pittsburgh Pirate Radio Network. So you'll hear Pirate Baseball here on WISR again this year, just as you're hearing Penguin Hockey. And we hope it's another overlap, just like the last 2 years where the Penguins are still playing hockey well into the spring. Yeah, we'll see. Open talk at 283-2525. A lot of things to talk about today. What do you have on your mind? 283-2525. Let's go to the people. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, my friend?
Good. Hey, I've heard you say twice now that these type of shootings never happen in other countries. Did you get the email I sent you showing that United States is number 11 on the list?
I did not. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Did you just send it recently or?
Last week when you first said that.
No, I didn't see it. I'd love to see it. Could you resend it for me?
I'll see if I can find the information again. I made a copy of it.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. You're saying that the United States is number 11 on the list?
I believe so. I think that was the number. I don't have it in front of me right at the moment. But.
For mass shootings? Really?
Yep. Yep.
Well, who's in front of us?
I don't have it in front of me to tell you that right now. I'll look and see if I can find it and get it off in the email to you again. I sent it to the station with your name on it, but apparently they didn't forward it to you.
Well, let me give you my email. Why, you got a pencil there?
I'll get one.
Okay, take your time. No hurry. I'd like to see that. I really would.
Yeah, go ahead.
D. Malarkey at bcrnetwork.com. That'll come right to my desk.
bcrnetwork.com. Okay. Very good. I'll see if I can dig that out again. It was in one of the periodicals I was reading. And
the only thing I know, I mean, there have been school shootings in other countries. Germany had one. England had one. The big story that I know about is Australia. I don't know whether that was a school shooting. It was a mass shooting about 15 years ago. And then they enacted some very, very strict gun laws, even buyback, which would never happen here. But they haven't had a mass shooting since then in Australia. Yeah. So,
I'll see if I can dig this out.
I would be most interested. I appreciate your alerting me to it. I didn't get it before. So.
Okay, very good.
Thanks, my friend.
Yep, take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. 283-2525, the number 283-2525. There may be, I don't know. I have to wait until I see his information. Some third world countries, maybe, where there's a lot of violence going on, but I can't imagine we would be 11th on the list of at least democracies. Well, we'll see. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Hey, there was a story that, I don't know. These stories about Amelia Earhart, they tend to surface, I don't know, every couple of months or so. The latest one was an article in Time Magazine. Do you get Time Magazine? Yeah, I used to, but I stopped it about 10 years ago. I changed their format, and I don't know, I just didn't care for it. But you can read it online these days, too, so. This week's issue of Time, the legendary pilot Amelia Earhart disappeared during an ill-fated attempt to fly around the world in 1937. Her last whereabouts remain unknown, but a new study adds weight to one of the most popular theories about her final resting place. Bones found in 1940 on a western Pacific island near Earhart's projected flight path were initially thought to belong to the pilot, as they were found alongside a number of possessions that could have belonged to her, including a shoe, some other stuff. But when a researcher measured and analyzed the bones back then, he determined that they belonged to a man. And that put the kibosh on the idea that they were the bones of Amelia Earhart. Now there's a new study. University of Tennessee anthropology professor Richard Jantz says he applied modern-day forensic analysis techniques to the old measurements, and he thinks that the bones actually did belong to a woman, and roughly a woman of Earhart's size. I guess he's going to write a paper about it. I've been fascinated about this even before I knew that Amelia Earhart did some flight training here in Butler, for goodness sakes. Yeah. We were talking about this last year when the subject came up. Remember, this is when they thought they found a picture of her with some guy standing on a pier somewhere, and then it was repudiated within about 2 days. So who knows what will be the end of this story. But that's when I found out that she had done flight training here in Butler. We talked with Ike Kelly, the manager at Butler-Pittsburgh Regional Airport, just south of Butler. And not only did she do some flight training here, it was here in Butler that they outfitted her plane with extra fuel tanks so that she could attempt some of her long-distance flights. Pretty amazing. So we'll follow that. Get any updates, we'll let you know. Time Magazine this week. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk, 283-2525 here on. It's your turn. I was cleaning out some old file cabinets, actually, near my desk back in the office. And you got to do this every once in a while. I should do it more often because I end up with junk that I can't believe. I came across, and I'll tell you about this as we go along through the program today, came across an old booklet on Butler put out by the Chamber of Commerce, and this has got to be, oh man, it's got to be 35 years old, I would say. Fascinating to look through here at some of the pictures and how our city, our region has changed over just the past few decades. Pretty amazing. Meanwhile, let's go back to the telephones. It's open talk at 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yeah, hey, Dave. This is Bert. This might be a dumb quiff question, but does our district get the vote for that Saccone or the Lamb guy next week? I'm totally lost with all the jurisdictions now, sir.
No, we don't. That's a region down in the immediate Pittsburgh area. In fact,
yeah, I figured there'd be a bunch of those little signs up if we meant anything, you know.
Can you believe the amount of money that's being spent on that campaign?
Wow, that'd be a lot of tractor tires, David.
You can't turn on the TV because, you know, most of our local television all comes from Pittsburgh around here. Doesn't matter
Absolutely,
what channel you're on.
That or radios, you know, I stray from ISR every now and then. Not trying to offend you, David, but, you know, it'll happen.
No offense. If you turn on to watch a TV newscast anytime for the past 2 months, you're going to see five or six commercials for those two guys.
Mud slapping. Hey, thanks for the heads up, David. Take care, man.
Sure. Thank you. Millions, by the way, being spent on that campaign, and it's almost all outside money. Which is, to me, it's just, you know, sickening, to be honest with you. Last I saw was $15 million. And this is for a congressional seat, one seat in Congress, not the U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress. One seat to serve, just to serve out the rest of Tim Murphy's term. That's all. Tim Murphy, of course, the disgraced former congressman who had to quit after a sex scandal. And so these two guys are going at it. be happy when that one's over. It will be next Tuesday, by the way. That's the date for that special election. But the only people that are voting there are the people who live in that district, which is suburban Pittsburgh. I think most of it's south of Pittsburgh. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Anyway, back to this booklet that I found. It's a very nice full-color. It's more than a brochure. It's a, I don't know, it's about a 50-page book talking about, and it's Chamber of Commerce things. They're talking about all the good points of Butler. But just to look at some of the, there's an aerial photograph of Butler Memorial Hospital. Hey, I wonder if there's a copyright date on this thing. I don't know. It's a long time ago. I'll tell you how long ago it was. The entrance to the hospital, the main entrance, was still where the tier garage is now. And there were still houses and trees in front of the hospital, between the hospital and Brady Street. It's an aerial photograph from a viewpoint that I've never seen before. Pretty fascinating. 283-2525, Open Talk. Hi, caller. Dave Malarkey here. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi.
Hello.
Yesterday, I somehow missed the part of your show that the manager of the new hotel was on.
Mm-hmm.
Did she give you a date that it's going to be opening?
No, she did not. Apparently, that's not quite finalized yet. She kind of smiled when I asked her, and soon is the best I could get. It looks like it's done, and it has for the last few weeks now. You know, all the signs are up. They light up at night. All the rooms appear to be lit up. I don't know. The outside railings are all up and the plantings and everything, so I would think it's got to be pretty soon.
Well, it's been soon for, like, what, 5 years now?
I know. You're right. They've had a lot of problems. That thing, well, it's been sold a couple of times during construction, which is very unusual to begin with. I mean, when did you ever hear of that before, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
It's still going to be a Marriott Spring Hill Suites, however, which is, from what I understand, as the Marriott has a number of different levels of hotels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, the Fairfield Inn and then on and on. I don't know. They have three or four different levels. And this is one of the higher levels. So apparently it's going to be pretty nice inside when it opens up. I'll be anxious to see it. Anxious.
Well, it's ugly outside.
You don't like it?
Oh, no. It doesn't belong in downtown Butler at all.
But well, a lot of downtowns have hotels, you know. Pittsburgh has a bunch of them downtown.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't belong in downtown Butler.
Okay, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. 283-2525. It's the first time I've heard that opinion voiced. Well, everybody has their own, right? Yeah. Better than a vacant lot, for goodness sakes, which is what it was before. That's right. After a fire destroyed several buildings there. Yeah. I don't find it ugly. 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk, 283-2525. Hi there. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Dave.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
How are you, buddy boy?
Pretty good.
Hey, let me ask you something. This has been months ago. I listen to you every day. I'm on the road, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's been months ago. You were saying something about a Burger King going back up on Newcastle Road. Did that fall through?
Burger King on Newcastle Road.
Yeah, up by the Kentucky Fried Chicken. This must have been 4 months ago you said this, maybe five.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure that it was a Burger King, though. There was supposed to be something going in there. There was a
Burger King years ago, and they tore that down, you know that.
There was a Quiznos in there.
Right, right.
I don't think that was there too long. I don't know. In fact, I was never in it. I don't know what, some kind of a sandwich shop,
yeah,
I guess.
I was swore he said Burger King was one up there again.
Gosh, but, I remember doing a story about that, but I can't remember what restaurant it was. Yeah, I know. It was sometime last year.
I guess the deal fell through. Obviously.
I don't. Burger King. Burger King. Are there any Burger Kings around? Yeah, there's one on Route 8 South, isn't
there?
Yeah,
one on Route 8, yeah.
Yeah.
But there used to be one up there, remember? Up by KFC, and they tore that down, my gosh, years ago.
I don't
but it would be
that.
Nice to have one up at that end.
That's the home of the Whopper, right? The Whopper.
Yep, home of the Whopper. That's right.
I can remember when that, I'm laughing, too, because when I first got old enough that, you know, I had a car and I had a little spending money once in a while from my lawn mowing jobs or whatever, and the first time I was out on my own buying, going to a burger joint, there was a place... There was a place on Route 8 just north of Butler in the Bonaire section. I want to say it was Winkies. I'm not sure. Can you remember that?
You know what? I was born and raised in Chandler Township. I've been in Butler like 17 years. But Winkies, we had on Route 8 in Etna, Winkies in Bloomfield. And I remember Winkies like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
My dad, we were there all the time when we were kids,
Yeah, it was at Winkies. It was right up, I don't know where, it was somewhere in the Bonaire area. But I want to tell you, they're not still around, are they?
No, they closed, my gosh, 20 years ago, than 25 years ago.
Then I can go ahead and say this. They had absolutely the worst hamburgers I've ever tasted in my life.
Really? I liked them.
You did?
When I was a kid, what did I know?
They were cheap. First of all, they were about the thickness of a piece of cardboard, and they kind of tasted like cardboard, I thought.
I'll tell you what, before I go, I like fast food hamburgers. I do. I've eaten them all, and from Wendy's on down. But the best one I've tasted is that Papa Burger up at that A&W restaurant up there, Point Plaza.
Haven't had
they
that
have the
one.
Best hamburgers out of this world.
I have to try that. Wendy's,
yeah,
of course,
wonderful.
Wendy's claim to fame is they use all fresh ground meat. They don't freeze it when everybody else does. Although I heard McDonald's is going to go to fresh meat, too, at least on some of their premium burgers. Very soon, actually.
Maybe. And I really don't care. I'm getting older. I'm starting to turn away from those fast food hamburgers and stuff,
What's the one I'm looking for at A&W? What's the name of it again?
Oh, the Papa Burger.
The Papa Burger.
Yeah, it's wonderful. They have the bacon cheese Papa Burger. It's out of this world.
Oh, please. I like my bacon with eggs. I don't like it on top of a hamburger.
Oh, you know what? The bacon's wonderful, and they load it up. It's bad for you, but it's delicious.
Thanks, my friend. Good to talk
with
you.
Have a great day, huh?
You too. You too.
So long, buddy boy.
So long. That's funny. Funny. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Yeah, you had Jerry Puff on the other day with the Armco photographs.
Mm-hmm.
I contacted him, and I got some photographs. I'm very grateful for that guy for doing that.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of amazing. These photographs probably have to be about 60, 70 years old now, and they're like, it looks like they're from yesterday.
They're actually older than that because they were all taken during World War II.
So, like close to 80 years old.
Yeah,
then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple of my dad and uncles, so I'm trying to get in contact with my cousins. Yeah, my neighbor turned me on to it. It was on the internet where they posted them.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, hey, your dad's in this, you know, and a couple uncles. And
you'll have to get, you can get reprints made of those for practically a song.
Yeah, well, there were some negatives. I didn't get any negatives, but
you don't need the negatives. Just take with the technology they have today. I'll tell you what, I had one reprinted last week. Somebody gave me a whole black and white photograph from the 1940s or 50s, I forget which.
Uh-huh.
And I took it up to Walgreens and got an absolutely perfect copy made. It cost 38 cents.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
I'll have to check that out.
I think they might be the only place around that does that. They used to have those machines at Walmart, but I don't think they do anymore.
I think Rite Aid has something like that, but I think you need like a computer, like a USB port or something.
I had it done at the Walgreens, and I was very satisfied. Plus, I couldn't believe the price.
So you just take the photograph, and they'll make copies of it.
Yeah, well, you like scan it there, and then they can get it for you the same day. If they're not busy, you can get it pretty quickly.
Okay. Hey, talking about the hospital, I have an old postcard of the original hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny. It's a circular in the center, and there's two wings that intersect. And now you can still, if you walk up there, you can still see where the original part of the hospital was. But
yeah.
They built out so much that
they call that the X building because that's exactly what it looked like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, good talking to you, Dave.
Same here. Thanks, my friend. Yeah, bye-bye. 283-2525, Open Talk on the program today. Here's a caller who's been waiting for a little while. Thank you for that, caller. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yes, David. I've heard you talk about Winkies quite a few times on your show over the years. I've been meaning to call you about this subject. First off, there was one at Bon Air area, across the road from Bon Air, near where Advance Auto is.
Okay.
There's another one up on Newcastle Hill where the existing Burger Hut is. That was a Winkies.
Did not know that.
But the thing I wanted to tell you was Winkies got in trouble back then in their final days. This didn't put them out of business, but they got in trouble because, I'm laughing because you don't like the hamburgers, they were not beef. They were kangaroo.
Really?
Yes. And it is legal to sell kangaroo meat. What they got in trouble for was false advertising. They called it 100% beef. So your
kangaroo meat
hamburgers were actually kangaroos.
You're not punking me, are you?
No. This. If you go back to, oh my gosh, they went out of business in what, the mid-70s, yet early 70s. So this goes back a ways, but that's a story.
I don't mean to knock them so much because when I was away at school, I ate them too. They had the cheapest burgers around. I mean, I don't remember what they cost, but they were dirt cheap.
I remember that too because I'm about your age, and I went there often. And incidentally, I loved them, and my family still teases me about eating Winkies kangaroos.
Oh, my. That's a great story. I'm telling you, you've brought tears to my eyes.
Okay, thank you very much for your time, Dave.
Thanks
enjoy
very
your
much.
Show.
Well, hop on out of here now. Kangaroos. That was the mascot of Estes Kiefhoffer High School in the National Lampoon yearbook parody. Did you ever see that, Pat Parker? Did you? That's in my pantheon of humor books. Estes S. Kiefhoffer High School. This is all fictional, of course, made up by the folks at National Lampoon. But, they had a yearbook for Estes Kiefhoffer High School. Estes Kiefhoffer was the running mate of Adlai Stevenson in the presidential campaign of 52 and I think again in 56. Estes Kiefhoffer. So why do I mention this? Because their school mascot, they were the Kangaroos. Their sports team were the Kiefhoffer Kangaroos. And the cheerleaders were the Kangarooters. and the JV cheerleaders, Kangaroo to Ruts. If I just start thinking about National Lampoon, whether it's the yearbook parody or the film Animal House or any of their other stuff, I just start to laugh. Maybe I'm easily amused, I'm not sure. I realize it's very low-brow comedy, but oh my, it is funny. The Kiefhoffer Kangaroo Durettes. Thank you, my friend, for the Winkies information. I'd forgotten that there were two of them. I didn't know, actually. I knew there was one up at Bon Air. I didn't remember exactly where it was. He said right up near where Advance Auto. Is that what it is, Advance Auto? There's another auto part that's kind of similar. Sometimes I get the names confused. Well, you know where that is. Yeah, it's up just past the Armstrong headquarters. But I didn't know there was one out on Newcastle Road where the Burger Hut is now. Back in my early days, the only Burger Hut was the original Burger Hut downtown. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525, open talk here on the program today. Yeah, this is a marvelous picture. I actually cut it out because I was going to throw the booklet away. I'm trying to declutter. And I actually cut this page out because it's an aerial view of the hospital as it used to be. There were lots of trees, small woodland area, actually, between the hospital and East Brady Street. And there were houses all along that side of East Brady Street. Just like on the other side of the street. The old nurse's residence was still there. It was a Sarver Hall, I think it was. It's long gone. They tore that down to build the addition that's now the new front of the hospital. Well, been there a while. And then, of course, they tore some more of the old stuff down to build the tower, which is absolutely fantastic. By the way, an incredible honor for Butler Memorial Hospital. They were named, the news came out today, named one of the top 100 hospitals in the United States. We're going to be talking with the president and CEO, Ken DeFurio, next week about this and some other stuff, but that is a tremendous honor. Okay, back to the telephones we go. Open talk at 283-2525. Hi, caller. Dave Malarkey here. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I'm just listening to the show, and someone mentioned whatever happened to that new Burger King. And that's my recollection, was that the news report was for a Burger King in that old subway site. And from time to time, when I'm on Hanson Avenue, I think, whatever happened to the Speedway that was going to go there where the Dunbar Center was?
Somebody asked me about that last week, and I said, I do not know, because that was with great fanfare, you know, that Speedway
right.
announced that. And, you know, and there it sits. I mean, the Dunbar Center's falling into disrepair. The paint's peeling off. That whole corner lot there is a real eyesore, no Speedway.
However, did you notice that someone took a chance and bought up and knocked down about 10 houses on the diagonal right across from where that Speedway is going to be?
No, I didn't know.
That entire corner was raised, and it's for sale for development.
You mean like Caddy Corner from... Okay,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
where you're at. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so there were, I think, 10 parcels there that are all aggregated for future development.
Yeah, that's good news. That's good news. I've got to be honest with you. When they first announced that, and that's like a couple of years ago, they announced that a Speedway was going on. I'd never heard of Speedway. There's one down on... right at the intersection of 19 and 528.
I knew you were going to mention that. That's an impressive structure. That's an impressive site.
It's the only one I've ever seen. It's gargantuan.
Well, they're truly a national company.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I had asked my brother, he's a real estate developer out of Atlanta, Georgia, and he specializes in apartment houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, what is with this? I said, you know, we hear about Burger King moving in, but they don't. Speedway, but they don't. And he said, in the development business, one of the key factors that no matter who you are, your boss is going to say, do you have site control, S-I-T-E, control? And In other words, they want to get all their ducks in a row. Money is still relatively inexpensive at low interest rates. And when the corporation decides to pull the trigger, they don't want to hear a story, well, we need to get the local government to okay our zoning, or we need to talk to the state highway department, or we need to talk to the owner. So they think it's cheaper to actually acquire the property and put it in their inventory until the day comes when it's the next one up on the list, and away they go.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not really well-versed in that at all. I appreciate
I'm not either.
It's interesting to me how these very similar businesses like to compete with each other. Witness the sheets going in, along Route 8 North, not far from the get-go.
Sure.
And, of course, the Speedway, if it ever goes in there, would be right across from a, I don't know what that is in there. Is that a 7-Eleven, that golf station?
It's that golf station, but golf company's not long for this world either. So.
It's kind of going the way of Sears Roebuck, I think.
Yes.
I don't know.
But perhaps you've noticed that story about down in the development area where the old pulling plant was, that the Allegheny General people are looking at that parcel for a cancer center, 30,000 square foot, I believe.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, I think so. It'd be a great shot in the arm, and the city okayed their parking, which was just a little over 200 parking spaces, for heaven's sake. But the bulk of that land is actually owned by a company that bought it in April of 2013 for $1.6 million and change, and it's just been sitting there growing weeds. And that's back to my brother's point that money's cheap. You buy your land, and you have it ready to go when someone wants to pull the trigger.
Interesting. Well, listen, that's good information there. I appreciate you sharing with us. Nice to talk with you today. I really mean it.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
More to come on It's Your Turn. We need to take a break. We're scheduled to chat next with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower. So stick around. We'll be back with more of It's Your Turn here on a Thursday in just a moment or so.
It's never been more important to stay in touch with the events and issues that shape our world. And for more than 25 years, Radio Pennsylvania has been the Commonwealth source for stories and newsmakers impacting your life.
Sexual harassment needs to stop, and the taxpayers backing up that behavior needs to stop.
I believe instead of just castigating the Supreme Court, I believe we should start the articles of impeachment.
From your state capitol to all corners of the Commonwealth, Radio PA's team of award-winning journalists serves as your eyes and ears on the front lines of the major events of our time. Honored for broadcasting and journalistic excellence by
the Associated Press, the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters, the National Association of State Radio Networks,
8-time winner of the Joe Snyder Award for Outstanding News Service, the top news on bestowed by the Associated Press in Pennsylvania. Heard all over Pennsylvania on great radio stations like this one, the Radio Pennsylvania Network, bringing you closer to Harrisburg and all of your Keystone State.
Signs of spring are arriving at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. With onions, garlic, and shallots arriving the week of March 12th, Easter chicks, ducks, and turkeys arrive the week of March 19th. New vegetable seeds are in stock. Start your indoor seeds with Espoma Organic Seed Starter and Potting Soil. It's also time to spray your fruit trees with a dormant oil and fertilize with Tree Fertilizer Spikes and Fertrell Organic Lawn Fertilizer. Horse owners, check out the new ADM products like Provitamin Tubs and Prime Glow Junior Glow or Senior Glow Horse Feed. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Radio is America's number one mass reach medium. Yes, you heard that correctly. More people listen to the radio on an average weekly basis than watch TV or search the internet. And there's a reason why. We play your favorite songs, we have your favorite DJs, and we also cover local news, sports, and weather always live and always on time. So if 93% of Americans are listening to radio, wouldn't it make sense for your business to be there too? At the Butler Radio Network, you get what you won't get at other places. Better service that offers a tangible result on your investment. Local music, local news, local DJs, and local businesses make local radio. So while all the big market stations focus group their music and overanalyze the market, we're doing radio the way it was meant to be. The Butler Radio Network takes pride in what we do. We care about where we work, we care about who listens, and we care about our local businesses. To learn more, call 724-283-1500 or visit butlerradio.com and click on the advertising page. I'm Tyler Friel, and I love what we do.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program on what has become a rather gray and cloudy Thursday. We had a lot of bright sunshine for a while earlier this morning. Forecast calling for 1 to 3 inches of snow overnight tonight. We're hoping we're on the low end of that. We'll see how it ends up for Friday morning. The president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower, joins us for the next segment of the program. Dr. Neupower, always good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you, Dave.
Also with us is Jess Matnock. Jess is the Executive Director of Communications and Marketing. Always nice to see you as well,
you
Jessica.
You too.
Yeah, good to see you. Well, the big news, I guess it was last week, maybe a week and a half ago, another incredibly generous gift to Butler County Community College for continued growth. I realized the headlines were a while back, but it's worth talking about because just an incredible news.
It is incredible news from an incredible individual, and that being Tim Schaefer. And Tim Schaefer worked in Washington, D.C. for a number of years. He worked in Harrisburg for a number of years.
He was a state senator, yeah.
Yes, state Several senator years. And a congressman. And the history of his family and the impact in Butler County, I guess that I didn't know all of the specifics when I first met Tim, but father was a county commissioner. Mm-hmm. And father was a county commissioner around the time when the college was being discussed. Boy, this would have been the 63 to 65 time period when the community colleges were passed here in Pennsylvania. And the original Community College Act called for 28 community colleges. And the first one on the western side of the state would be a Butler County Community College. And, of course, for a community college, you would not only have state support, but you have to have local support from county commissioners. And Tim's father was a county commissioner at that time. So the fact that we've come full circle and now as one of 14 community colleges in the Commonwealth, that we have an individual like Tim Schaefer, who joins the ranks of his very close friend, Bob Heaton. He referenced Janice Phillips Larrick, mm-hmm. and also John Wise and the Wise family. Those are four separate $1 million gifts to our foundation in a little over a three-year period, which is just amazing.
Yeah. The $1 million gift from former State Senator Tim Schaefer is earmarked for the new nursing building, right?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question that you ask, and I appreciate the clarification. So the Victor Phillips Nursing and Allied Health Building all of the children will be recognized, already recognized in a wonderful plaque. That will be the name of this new building, and we're looking for a timeline of up to 3 years to get the appropriate funding, including state funding, for the new building. So when Janice Phillips Larrick comes around, we met with a number of her children, and my goodness, a $1 million gift, yes, we will name a building. Mm-hmm. Then you have a Tim Schaefer who comes around, and there's another $1 million, and Tim identified correctly that he wanted this to go to nursing and allied health, such an important field, et cetera. So then Ruth Purcell and I start talking about, well, we've already named the building. How can we still earmark a gift for our nursing program? And I'm actually happy to tell this story. Ruth did a very nice job of writing my wife, Tammy, a nice thank you note. I'm not sure Jessica knows this. So during our walks with the dog in Slippery Rock, and I talked about this wonderful meeting with Tim Schaefer, and there's another opportunity for a game-changer type gift to the college for our nursing program. But the building's already been named, of course, for Victor Phillips. Mm-hmm. And we talked about some opportunities. And while at the college, we have divisions of nursing and allied health, division of humanities and social sciences. My wife suggested to me that she thought that it would be appropriate, well, $1 million gift, let's raise the bar and go from a division to a school. And at that time, she said, it really has a nice ring, the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health. And I was excited. I either called Ruth after the walk or the very first thing the next morning, and I said, this came up during our walk, and it was Tammy's suggestion. And our next meeting with Tim, we had this discussion, and he loved the idea. Then my next call was to Janice, and Janice loved the idea. So here it is. We have two separate $1 million gifts to benefit what is now the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health. We're going forward and putting in a state application to get the state to pay for half of the building. We already have about another $300,000 in donations that will work toward this. So there will be some upcoming meetings with other governmental officials and also some other donors to get the funding for what we estimate will be a $10 to $12 million building.
Wow. You know, you hear about this at really large schools, and it makes news. I'm not sure what school you were in at Penn State. I was in the School of Communications, recently renamed for Donald Belisario, who created NCIS. He was the original development. You know, that franchise has gone viral all over the place. Yeah, he kicked in some big bucks.
Yeah.
And it's now the Belisario School of Communications at Penn State. But, you know, that's one thing. I mean, to have this happen at, you know, Butler County Community College in their own backyard is just marvelous.
It is marvelous. I was a Magnum PI guy. I loved, so Belisarius back in the day, when I was at Penn State, was Magnum PI and also Quantum Leap, and just a wonderful, wonderful Penn State grad. And recently, there was an IUP gift that grabbed some headlines, and I think that was a gift of a little bit over $1 million. To go back to your point, four separate $1 million gifts to Butler County Community College. And as I said at the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health celebration, where we certainly recognized Tim, that after the Heat and Family Learning Commons celebration, I was in the car with my wife and our two daughters. Now, at that time, that would be about 3 years ago, so they were about 20 and 17, around that age. And our youngest daughter on the way home asked Tammy and I, why is it that so many people give such large sums of money to BC3, a community college? It's a small college. Why do people do that? So this is difficult for me to do because I love talking about the college, but I zipped my lip and I wanted Tammy to answer that question. And Tammy has been on many of these dinners and really has gotten to know and love these donors just like myself. And Tammy's response to Meredith was, it's because the people of Butler claim that college as their own. And many of them were here back in the early days. They've seen it grow. And I've used that line in blogs and many speeches that I've given. And it so articulates my true feeling, is that the community members claim that college on the Oak Hill as their own college. They've seen it start in 1966 with about 300 students. They've seen it grow to become a regional institution of higher education and an institution that annually serves 25,000 individuals. I'm not so sure that some of our regional universities have that same feel, because after all, they're regional universities. They're not the community's college. And that is something that former Senator Schaefer echoed in his sentiments. And it is just a wonderful accomplishment over these last 3 years that we've been able to raise so much money from so many wonderful individuals.
And sure. Nursing is our premier program. I mean, we are only able to accept 70 out of over 200 applicants right now. But with these types of gifts, how we're able to expand the programs and able to expand the students that are accepted or the enrollment in these programs, because it's a very successful, yeah. Before mm-hmm. we even make this expansion, we have 96% success rate. That was our most recent number on the national license exam for registered nurses.
A lot of people may not realize that nursing is one of those fields, and there's a handful of them, but even after you graduate with a degree in nursing, you have to pass a state board.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You have to get licensed, and it's a pretty stiff examination. So you're saying just 96%?
Yeah, and the state average is 84%, yeah. And our students are graduating with 96%.
Wow, that's
so
great.
The program is already stellar. I mean, this is just going to make it even better and allow us to expand who can be part of it and who can enroll at BC3 as a nursing student and be part of that success.
It'd be amazing when you think that 96% of the graduating nursing students from BC3 pass the state board.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So where is this, where exactly on campus is this building going to be? I read the description, but I couldn't quite, it's probably me, I couldn't yeah. quite visualize where it's going.
Okay, I will need help with Jess on this because I've been at this college since 99 and I still don't know north, south on our campus. So I'm going to use true Butler vocabulary here when we're referencing where things used to be, okay? So off of Old Plank, behind Fred and Sue Bennett's house, which is now named the Bennett House at the college, there's the back parking lot. And that back parking lot, as you head into campus, there is what used to be the old Oak Hills Golf Course clubhouse, which still stands. And that clubhouse will be removed. That's our maintenance and operations building. That clubhouse will be removed, and it will be put into the field, the fenced-in field that was part of Fred and Sue's property. So that new operations building will go in that field, and then we will have this beautiful $10 to $12 million building that will the master plan's fascinating. Not only will it increase the capacity of our nursing program, great point that Jessica brought up, it will also have medical school-type facilities. It will have, you talk about some of these TV shows earlier, it will have the classroom with the elevated seats mm-hmm. that will look down on the operating table. But however, it will have the technology mounted on the wall, so you can not only as a student look down, but also look up to the technology as our wonderful, tremendous nursing faculty are teaching to the students. It will have an emergency room type exit. Okay. And as you walk in the Victor Phillips Nursing and Allied Health building, you will enter the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health. The plans are also for a health clinic, a faster care type facility that will be operated by our nursing students, students from other majors. And we will connect with, already talked about this with Ken DeFurio, who's now on our board, and some others. I'm a former health clinic. The wonderful Gene Purvis, I'm a former board member there. So our students, just like with the ARMCO Credit Union, it's a student-run credit union, will have the opportunity in this state-of-the-art building to also get this real-life experience. And we're looking to also have some community partnerships that will be part of this state-of-the-art bricks and mortar. That's the type of quality mm-hmm. That the students and the community members of Butler County are getting with BC3.
Wow. Are there any even preliminary renderings? I mean, obviously mm-hmm. the working drawings are not done yet, but do we know how tall it's going to be, for example? Or?
Yeah, so there are preliminary drawings. And what we're doing as part of the state application process is that Brian Opitz, our executive director of operations, will work with appropriate people to hone down those early versions of the renderings to a tighter version of the renderings. Ruth and I will utilize that for donors, for governmental support. There's a lot of permitting. There's a lot of paperwork, even with our facilities and finance committees, that goes to the Board of Trustees, that the state needs us to jump through those hoops before it will even be considered for approval by the state. Mm-hmm. I feel confident that this is something that is about 3 years out. But that's okay, because we need to generate the additional money beyond the funding here and get approval from the state to pay for the $10 to $12 million project.
I think preliminarily it's going to be about 30,000 square feet, two floors, the tiered classroom that President Neupower mentioned, and there's going to be sim labs. But it's really going to look like a hospital.
Yeah.
When you go in.
I can see that. Yeah.
So I think that's the neatest part about it.
And yes.
It'll be really that hands-on, real-life experience, not only to the students, but anybody who walks in will get that vibe that they're in a hospital setting.
And Dave, I really want to emphasize this point. So there were a number of presidents in the state. It's considered a really good accomplishment, I'm speaking from an individual president's perspective, to build buildings. Okay, there's no question about that. However, how buildings are funded is something that really needs to be analyzed closely. Mm-hmm. And the point that I want to emphasize is that we are not raising student tuition to build buildings. We are not coming up with grants and foundation funding that is part of the equation whenever in reality it's far-fetched to get that funding. We are raising money and getting money from our governmental sources, the Commonwealth, and it could also be the county, to help us with this. We do have capital reserves that are going to deferred maintenance. A busted up sidewalk, I don't necessarily know that donors would be interested in a crumbling sidewalk, okay? Are there times where we have to go into our capital reserves to help with some capital projects? Yes, but it is an incredibly small percentage. Amy Wise Children's Creative Learning Center, $1.1 million from the Wise family, $1.1 million from the state, and I think that it may have been a couple hundred thousand dollars in capital reserves. That's how we do things, and I can tell you that all institutions don't do things that way, and there are some former presidents around the state that were banking on some soft money coming in that they couldn't either raise or they couldn't get from the foundations, and then that creates a whole other issue for that college or university. Mm.
Well, that's good to know, and it's good for you to point out. I like the landscape architectural balance. You know, much of the recent expansion has been on one side of the campus. This is on the other side.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, you know.
Good point.
It's nice from an aerial view. You know?
Yes.
We're talking, for listeners who may have joined us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn. That's fine. Dr. Nick Neupower is here. He's the president of Butler County Community College. Jess Matnock is also here, executive director of communications and marketing. And we're getting an update on a bunch of stuff going on at the school. Certainly talking about the recent magnificent gift by former State Senator Tim Schaefer of $1 million to the college to create the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health. Nursing is... I hate to sound too mercenary about this, but that's a career that's looking real good right now. Yeah. There's a real need for nurses. Demographics indicate there will continue to be a real need for nurses over the next several years. Mm-hmm. So if you graduate with a nursing degree, you got a real good chance of not only getting a job, but a very good job right away. I understand, maybe my information is incorrect on this, you're going to also be offering a preliminary nursing program at the Brockway location of BC3?
Yeah. We actually had an event there on, was that a couple weeks ago now?
I think 3 weeks ago, and former Senator Schaefer was 2 weeks ago, so that's accurate, yeah.
Yeah. We were celebrating the news that the State Board of Nursing granted BC3 of Brockway the ability to offer the nursing RN program at that location. Right now it's only offered on our main campus. Mm-hmm.
That is so significant. It is an expansion of the high quality that we have here on main campus, an hour and 45 minutes away. And what our Dean of Nursing, Patty Anear, and faculty are saying is that even though we're separated by an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, the quality will not slip. We will not lose the excellence that we have in the program, nor will we lose the excellence that we have with those licensure scores. Because if you fall below that threshold, that's a problem. I mean, you could put the jeopardy, you could be jeopardizing the future of that particular program. We had a terrific event. Not only did we announce, the expansion of our program, we celebrated Senate Pro Temp, Senator Joe Scarnati, who really helped come up with the funding to make this possible in Brockway. While we're recognized across the state and across the country, what we're doing in Brockway is a great example of what we do at BC3. We have a lot of great partnerships in a building that used to be the corporate headquarters of Owens Brockway Glass. Senator Scarnati and some key donors, the Varaschetti family, have contributed to help make possible not only the BC3 at Brockway campus, but now we have this nursing program. Here's what this does for Butler. Jess mentioned that we have 70 students who are accepted annually at Butler. When we analyze the mailing addresses of those students, nursing program students will travel a great deal. We were able to analyze that there were a handful of students, close to 10 students, who Brockway would be closer than main campus. Hmm. Those students will opt for seats in Brockway, which then open up those students here on our main campus. And not only will we have the 20 additional students in the nursing program at Brockway, if you're not accepted, you can take our pre-nursing program at BC3 at Brockway. So it helps to build our enrollment when these students are taking those pre-nursing classes.
Yeah, I guess if they had anybody from anywhere near the Clarion area, it would be closer for them to go to Brockway.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing to see the mailing addresses of where these students travel in general to attend BC3, but also our nursing program.
And the need for nurses in that area is growing exponentially. It's 25%. It's expected to grow through 2022.
Wow.
And that is known in the area, and that's definitely a program that people want to see. We had 110 people at our first information session.
Yeah.
That was just an information session for possible cohorts moving forward for the nursing class. Mm-hmm. So there's an interest in the area, and it's backed by the growing need.
It's a great career. It's a tough regimen. First of all, it's very competitive to get in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be admitted to the nursing program, you got to study hard. I may have shared this story with you. It was a couple of years ago now. I was on campus for some reason, I can't remember what, but I had some time to kill. So I was wandering through the bookstore. I'll do that any time if I have time to kill, wander through a bookstore. And I just happened upon the section where the nursing textbooks were displayed. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Boy, there's some really, really tough-looking courses that they were taking there. Wow. Listen, we have to take a quick break. More to discuss with our guests, so please stick around. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll be talking about gambling problems. People who, I don't know whether addicted to gambling is the right terminology, but problem gamblers. We'll have some folks in who are expert on that. We'll be talking also about Camp Cadet tomorrow and about a wonderful program coming up this spring for kids to learn about fishing, becoming an angler. Yeah, all that on tomorrow's program. Don't forget, next week, Ken DeFurio will be here. It was just announced today. A really incredible honor. Butler Memorial Hospital, named as one of the top 100 hospitals in the United States.
Wow. That's great.
In the United States. So Ken DeFurio, who's the president and CEO, will be with us toward the end of next week. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Wonderful, wonderful organization. Many, many volunteers who help the less fortunate in many ways. They operate a food bank in the Lower Institute Hill area. They serve hundreds and hundreds of families every month. They operate a thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart on Route 8 South. They also operate a client aid program, which is important, especially this time of the year. That helps needy families out come the end of the month, maybe with a rent payment or a hospital bill or electric bill. So how do they fund these programs, client aid and the food bank? Well, partially through donations and partially through the proceeds of the operation of the thrift store. So when you donate unneeded or unwanted items to the thrift store and then they're sold, every penny stays here in Butler County to help fund their other programs. Good thing to think about. The thrift store, by the way, is in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South, just south of Butler. And they're a wonderful place in there. So think about it. Next time you come up, you're cleaning out a closet or the attic or the garage or whatever. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. They like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. At the Butler Little Theater, a drama, The Rise and Rise of Daniel Rocket, a fresh and richly imaginative play that explores the trauma of growing up. When the play opens, Daniel Rocket is a 12-year-old sixth grader, firmly convinced that he can fly. He's ridiculed by his classmates and shunned. 20 years later, that's the second half of the play, Daniel returns home, a renowned celebrity. It's live on stage at the Butler Little Theater, March 9th through 17th, The Rise and Rise of Daniel Rocket. For ticket reservations, call the box office evenings between 7 and 9 p.m., 287-6781, or go online at bltgroup.org.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Welcome back, friends. We're chatting with Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College, also with us here in the studio. He's the Executive Director of Communications and Marketing for the school, and that's Jess Matnock. We talked, I don't know, sometime last year, a couple of times, I guess, when you were discussing exploration of revitalization efforts in the city of Butler mm-hmm. and involving the community college in that. Is that still percolating? Is that still being looked at, worked on, examined?
Yes. So in our strategic plan, Clear Path Forward 2017 to 22, we are moving forward with four initiatives, and one of the initiatives focuses on the community. And while we always talk about being the community's college, and we have gone throughout northwestern Pennsylvania, and we certainly have our Butler Township location on the Oak Hill, 330 acres, as well as Cranberry Township, this specifically focused on the city of Butler. And working with a lot of very good people, solid entities that have been around a while, and emphasizing our role as convener, bringing people together, and our role as educator. So we had a kickoff meeting in December with about 80 community members. I'll actually have an upcoming op-ed piece for the Butler Eagle that's talking about what it is that we're doing with this city revitalization. And we look to hold another larger session in the summer to bring these groups together to come up with a common vision, common definitions, value statements, and a sustainable organizational model. Within the coming weeks, the college will be visiting some locations in downtown, and we will look to establish some kind of a presence in downtown Butler. It will not be a huge presence, but we think with some of the initiatives that we have underway that are specifically focusing on downtown Butler, it would allow us not only to have that presence, but symbolically to establish that shingle of BC3 in downtown Butler, which, of course, as we know, there have been some great strides even recently with what's going on in the city. And Jess has some information that our great staff under Lisa Campbell in Workforce Development, where we are already starting to establish some credit and non-credit classes in the city.
Yeah, so far we've offered about a dozen lifelong learning classes. There's been about 120 students who have registered for those classes. We're working with the Butler Public Library right now. There's like a monthly presenter that comes through our lifelong learning and presents at that location as well. So it's
a nice facility there. They have a meeting room there and downstairs. Very nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And also I think we have something with the arts center that is planned for the future that is coming up.
I know we're offering classes at Brushes and Barstools.
That's
as
right,
well.
Brushes and Barstools. And we were talking during break. That news about Butler Health System is just incredible news. And someone recently said that you can tell when a city falls apart, that it starts to lose things like a local newspaper, a local radio station, and a hospital. So we all know I'm from Elwood City, okay? My aunt was the CEO of the hospital. That's gone through a lot of change right now. Now there's an independent group out of Florida who's running it. The Ledger no longer stands. The Ledger is down to about two staff people.
This was the newspaper in Elwood City.
Yeah, and WFEM, a radio station from many years ago, no longer around. And certainly we could brag about the Slippery Rock Universities and everything that goes on in Cranberry Township in northern Butler County. Think of what is going on in the city. The Eagle, the radio station, you have the college and the township a mile or so away, and you have a world-renowned health system. Yeah. And what we're seeing with these millennials coming into the main street in Butler, it's taken a while. There are a lot of different variables as to why these Rust Belt cities, it's taken a while. I hope the listeners realize that there's such positive momentum, and the college is excited to join forces with all of the above and then some others to help serve in the role of convener and educator to help the city down this path. We have a great council, too, as well as a great mayor who've the mayor certainly seems to endorse us, and we've had council members also to the college to learn more.
And we did recently just pull our employees and learn that about 70% of our employees are serving in a volunteer capacity in the areas already. A lot of them serving on boards. So it's an impact from our employees from that standpoint.
You feel you touched on this earlier in our conversation about how so many people feel like they're stakeholders.
Yeah.
And they're not just living here. They're not just passing through. They feel like they're stakeholders in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, one of the professors at BC3, Chris Calhoun, we've talked with Chris before, and most people would probably even recognize his name, but another marvelous recognition at the state level for Professor Calhoun.
He was recognized by the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission for his outstanding service. And he does some amazing quality programming for the commission. And he is, of course, a professor at BC3 in our Parks and Recreation program.
Last time I talked to him here on the program, he had been involved in rescue efforts for people who were flooded out of their homes. Yeah. I think it was down in Renfrew or somewhere in that area. And he's been involved in teaching emergency responders how to rescue people from who fall through ice, you know, like on Lake Arthur or something if they're ice fishing. Pretty amazing. Nice to see him recognized by the Fish and Boat Commission.
And an important point for me to underscore. We're not talking about a town and gown relationship with the city. We don't have four separate $1 million donors or the tremendous success that we've had in our foundation. We're not on to these larger initiatives unless we have quality in the classroom. We're a teaching institution. We're an institution of higher education. In order to have these larger scale things that we're doing, none of that takes place if we don't have the excellence in the classroom, if we have drama on the home front, so to speak. Our faculty is phenomenal. I've worked at Research Ones, liberal arts institutions, state universities, community colleges. What I love most about our faculty members, they're here for teaching, number one. They do research and they perform service, but it all goes back to teaching. And many of them, like Professor Calhoun, are experts, professionals, practitioners in their fields, and they bring that to the classroom. Mm-hmm. So again, being a number one community college for two consecutive rankings, it all starts in the classroom, and I just love when our faculty are recognized like Chris.
I don't know the proper terminology for the different divisions at the school, but he teaches, is it Parks and Recreation Management or something like that?
Correct, yeah, that's the program.
Yeah, I mention it only because I'm betting that there's a lot of listeners out there who don't realize that that's an area of study that you can choose when you go to Butler County Community College, Parks and Recreation Management, which could be the very first step toward a career with the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, for example.
Correct.
Park rangers, that sort of thing.
Yeah. It is so we talk about Hallmark programs and mention nursing in that capacity. It's a nationally recognized program. And that has everything to do with Chris and some of the other faculty members who teach in the program. And, Parks and Recreation Management that is housed in the Humanities and Social Sciences Division. Chris has been there for many, many years, and we're just so proud of him.
More information on, here's an honor society. I'm not up to date on all these honor societies. Phi Kappa Theta, that's for really students with really, really good grades, right, Jess?
Yeah, it's the Phi Theta Kappa International Honor Society, and BC3 has a chapter. It's the Rho Phi chapter, and they've received several recognitions over the past few months, but the most recent is they were named a 2018 REACH chapter, which really recognizes them for their membership development.
So, how do you get into that? First of all, you need really good grades, I suppose.
Yeah,
you do. There's a qualifying GPA, certain amount of credits.
And then a service commitment, and then Phi Theta Kappa works towards a certain project. It is very active on our campus, great leadership. We've always had great student leaders. This is another example of that. Great advisors. Morgan Rosardi is the advisor. Along with Amanda Fleming as a co-advisor. And the highest status in which a Phi Theta Kappa, our local one is known as Rho Phi, can attain is a five-star status. And we were named a five-star status last year. We've maintained that five-star status. That particular Rho Phi chapter has helped with our larger role in the taking on the opiate initiative, which is part of our city revitalization efforts. And last year's group also put forward a plan for this health center that we'll have in our new Victor Phillips Nursing and Allied Health building. Very active. I'm with you. I say this jokingly. I wasn't a member of an honor society back in the day either.
I certainly wasn't either.
Jess, I know, was.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Were you a Phi Theta Kappa?
I wasn't a Phi Theta Kappa. It was by a different name where I went to school. But, yeah, I was.
Yes, she was. And so she was on a higher level of being a communication major than you and I were, Dave. But this group is a very important part of our college. It's been around, frankly, since the beginning. And we're so excited for their accomplishments.
Well, you may not have been a member, but you are being recognized, though. He was given special recognition. I think we talked about this on the last show.
Yes.
Yeah.
For your support of the program.
Yeah, so I will be recognized coming up in Kansas City, and it's a I didn't know that I was nominated by the group, but the group did nominate me. And it's my understanding that when I was notified, it's an international recognition. So we will be celebrating in Kansas City in the coming weeks. And the same leaders from Phi Theta Kappa will be out there. I thought that it was incredibly important that they be there, because this all correlates back to them, and they were the ones that nominated me. So it's exciting for me that the college is getting a lot of play with this, not so much that I'm the award winner, but it really speaks to the excellence of Phi Theta Kappa.
Well, it's an international organization. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, making the honor roll at your neighborhood junior high school. Yeah. I'm not denigrating that.
Right.
But correct. This is an international organization, and I personally think it's great that there's a chapter at BC3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, my guess would be that a lot of schools the size of BC3 don't have a chapter of Phi Theta Kappa.
Right, and such a successful chapter. I couldn't let President Neupower be modest. I had to bring that up. But that is just one of the many accomplishments, as I started out with saying, that the chapter has done in the last several years. So not only do we have a chapter, we have a special chapter that's being recognized for accomplishments above and beyond.
Well, I matured through my years of undergraduate school. I figure I could have made it if I had like six more years. I could have maybe qualified, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Students in Butler County Community College's Introduction to Painting class are busy. They're in some sort of a competition or something, Jess?
Yeah, it's the Motion and Abstract Contest, and it was sponsored by Baglayer Mazda. It's David Ludwig's class. It's an introduction to painting, as you mentioned. And I wanted to bring that up because voting is still happening.
Oh.
If you go to the Baglayer Mazda website and you click on their motion and abstract portion of the website, you can view the three submissions to the contest. One was from BC3, one was from Slippery Rock University, and the other from the Butler Arts Center. And you select your favorite submission, and then that submission is going to be in the Baglayer Mazda dealership, in the main lobby of their dealership. It's on Route 68. And then there are also some cash prizes for the winners as well. So,
that is so cool.
Our students took part in that, and they did some beautiful work.
Is Introduction to Painting, is that a credit course, or is that a lifelong learning course, or maybe both? I don't know.
It's a credit course. Yeah, we have lifelong learning courses in painting and art, but this particular course is a credit course in the Humanities and Social Sciences department.
Mm-hmm. Can you major in that area at BC3?
We have a fine arts major.
Yeah,
and that is part of the curriculum. But the we just went through the thorough review of our general education offerings, and if you're not a fine arts major, then you would be able to take the Introduction to Painting course. And my guess is that it would qualify for humanities. I shouldn't say my guess. I know that it qualifies as a humanities general education class that you can take. That's the beauty. And right now in this political climate, liberal arts, I spend a lot of time talking about the liberal arts. And you can imagine. And while I do not diminish that there are jobs that require special degrees or special certifications, I always argue on behalf of the liberal arts, that well-rounded component, because you might be able to work on a certain machine as a machinist or in metrology, what have you, but a lot of the well-rounded leadership skills that a student might get goes above and beyond what's taught in that part of the curriculum and goes back to the gen ed liberal arts portion. So I like to say that our students benefit from both, and this particular class would be an example of that.
I'm with you. Liberal arts and the humanities in general, somewhat looked down upon in some quarters these days.
Yeah.
I think it's very valuable to a well-rounded education. Yeah. Students in the Physical Therapist Assistant Club are doing some good works as we prepare for an upcoming holiday, Jess?
Right. So speaking of volunteer and service in the community, our students do that as well. And they are putting together Easter baskets with toys and treats for the Butler County Alliance for Children, and those will go to victims of abuse. They've been doing this for the past 3 years. This is the most baskets that they've been able to put together. They beat last year's number by one. They have 100 baskets this year to give those children, and this is the only initiative through that organization for the Easter holiday for those kids. So it's really important.
I mentioned the area of study because I'm just convinced that there are a lot of people who don't realize how many varied areas of study there are at BC3. Art, I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, nursing, of course, park and recreation management. Here's physical therapist.
Yeah.
That's another area where, from what I understand, there's a tremendous demand.
Yes.
Wonderful job opportunities after you finish the program to be a physical therapist.
Yeah, and the physical therapist assistant program is in the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health.
And we have about 63 to 65 associate degree majors on our campus. We have some one semester or two semester credit certificate or diploma programs. But don't forget, we have the bachelor's degrees on our campus also. So we have the full gamut of offerings. And of course, you know, to find out more detailed information, go into bc3.edu. But boy, have we grown over the years with all of those offerings.
We need to take a quick break here. I'm sure that midday lottery numbers are available from Harrisburg, so Pat Parker will run down those for you, and we'll be back to wrap up our conversation with our guests on the final segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR on this Thursday. Back right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 5353. The pick three is 545545. The pick 4, 8612. The pick 5, 03702. The wild ball is 1 for each of those. The treasure hunt, 6, 7, 18, 23, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there starts here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there. Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Dr. Nick Neupower recently attended the ACCT National Legislative Summit. ACCT, what's that acronym?
Association for Community College Trustees. There are about 150 community colleges, junior colleges, branch campuses across the country, basically two-year degree offering institutions, and come together once a year to learn more about federal issues and to go onto the Hill to talk to our state senators and our congressmen. And Ruth Purcell and I did exactly that. We talked to representatives from Senators Casey and Toomey. We also spent time with Representative Rothfuss. He's a really good guy. And although Mike Kelly, Butler's own, was not able to meet with us, we spent time with Mike's staff. And how lucky we are to have a local congressman, of course, goes from Butler all the way up to Erie, who was born and bred here in Butler. And we talk about those larger federal issues. This, interestingly enough, was the day of the shooting in Florida. So when we met with Representative Rothfuss, I knew something was going on. There seemed to be a lot of scuttlebutt. And on the phone and walking in the hallways in D.C., I knew there was a shooting. I didn't know to the extent. And now when I reflect back on it, I could tell that this was a larger issue that was on their mind. And, of course, you know everything that's happened since with school safety, NRA issues, that type of thing. So it's always interesting when we go there. And I could tell the listeners that I really believe that we're very well represented both at Congress and at Senate levels.
I think that, and this is a generalization, of course, but I think elected political representatives are much more appreciative of community colleges, their mission, and what they've done and what the future holds for them than they were, say, 20 years ago.
Oh, no question. That also goes on at the state level, too. Mm-hmm. Very affordable. We're nimble. We address the needs. It can be on the academic side. It could be workforce side. Just think of everything we do in public safety. Just think, and I know the city, this is a wonderful thing, has a paid fire department. Where would our Commonwealth or country be without volunteer firefighters? Yeah. At one point, that was quantified, and I forget how staggering the number was, but everything that we do for our volunteer firefighters also, that's what you get with the community college, and specifically BC3 from a public safety perspective. There are three colleges that I would say within the Commonwealth that are recognized for excellence: BC3, Butler, Harrisburg, and also Bucks Community College. So I agree with that statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one can only marvel at what might happen in the future at Butler County Community College. I personally can't wait to see the new nursing building going up.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. Yeah.
I think in our time, even since Jess has been on campus, and same with me, the future of bricks and mortar and how that blends with internet, and do you need to have more bricks and mortar? And just like anything, we take our time, we go slow, we don't dive head into a newest model or paradigm. And really, as that has played out, there's a space for both. But the key point is that even millennial students still need a sense of place. So while we have some students who take all online or all traditional, the direction in which it's headed is that they take a combination of the two. Our youngest takes 6 credits from BC3 while she is enrolled at IUP and takes 11 credits from IUP. So another way to put it would be Monday, Wednesday, Friday are her IUP classes, and Tuesday, Thursday are her online BC3 classes. So how we used to mix and match our schedule with Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, one evening class, now these students are using the combination of the online along with the traditional, but it still comes back to sense of place. And when people go up on that hill or at any of our BC3 campus locations, that's what they get.
Yeah. Pioneer spirit of Butler County Community College. I wonder where the nickname came from. I don't know. That's long before.
I know that answer.
Yeah?
Yes, if we have time here. So it was Governor Scranton who was here for our opening in 65 to 66. This would have been in the fall of 66. And we were the first community college on the western side of the state. And he said that we were pioneering community colleges as the first on the western side of the state. And from that point forward, or soon after, we were known as the BC3 Pioneers.
Wow. And what governor was that, Scranton?
Mm-hmm. Scranton. That's correct.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I asked.
I am too. Who is Governor Scranton? That's a little jeopardy.
Oh, my. Nice to have the president of Butler County Community College visiting with us today, Dr. Nick Neupower. And Jess Matnock as well, who's the Director of Communications and Marketing. And don't forget this Saturday, the Pittsburgh Philharmonic is going to be in concert at Suckup Theater at BC3.
They're on this Saturday at 7:30. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets online, and they're going to be performing music about the pursuit of knowledge. So that will be very fitting as we end our spring break. We're in spring break week right now.
That's right.
And then students will be headed back on Monday. So
for the last lap.
Last lap is correct.
The bell lap.
That's right. Exactly.
We're already planning for our commencement in May.
Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking about Camp Cadet. We're going to be talking about problem gambling. And we've got some folks coming in who have some expertise on that. And it can be an addiction. And obviously, you know, in a family situation, it can be very, very troublesome. So we'll talk about that, how to get help for that, for problem gambling. And we'll talk about some other stuff as well. Don't forget, WISR, once again, pleased to be honored to be a part of the Pittsburgh Pirate Radio Network. So you'll hear Pirate Baseball here on WISR starting, believe it or not, 3 weeks from today. Wow. They start too early.
Yeah.
How can you start the baseball season in March?
I agree.
They do, and in Detroit yet.
Oh, my goodness.
March 29th, 3 weeks from today, if it's not snowing in Detroit on that day. The home opener is a few days later, April 2nd. But we're pleased to have Pirate Baseball again here on WISR this year. Okay, that wraps it up for today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow on It's Your Turn on WISR 680 in Butler.
Have coffee with Kate and Dave Malarkey weekday mornings at 8 on WISR 680 AM Butler.
After defeating the Philadelphia Flyers on the road 5-2, the Penguins continue a little road trip up to Toronto to meet the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday.